Well, good morning. Something strange going on outside, out the window. Yeah, we sung about that sunshine a little bit. We haven't seen it much lately, have we? But thank the Lord for it. Appreciate some sun. The Lord sent the rain. He does it perfectly and in the right way. And boy, things have sure jumped out of the ground, haven't they? And I know your lawn has, and I know my sinuses have kind of gone crazy too, probably many of yours. And it is that season and the way things are being brought out here before us. But the birds sure appreciate it. They do a lot of singing these days. You can get some good music if you're outside listening to them. And their thankfulness unto the Lord. Well, we're glad you're here to open up the Bible and see what it has for us this day. And we have read in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. We're going to pick up a couple of other little portions too of Scripture, but we will be having our main dining time here in chapter 8 and enjoying it, we trust, together. Sometimes we open the Scriptures and there are things that we will talk about and say, boy, that just struck home to help me and minister to me today. And the other times we open the Scripture and we say, boy, that sure was rough on me today. And other times we open it up and preach and we can't just stop our expressing of praises and glory to the Lord. And probably this is one of those that maybe steps on a toe or two, but I didn't write it. I'm just saying kind of what's here. So the generosity of faith. Remember, we've been working through 2 Corinthians, this letter to a local church, and there were a lot of things to deal with, so there's lots of topics, and I've been approaching it from the standpoint of walking by faith, for we walk by faith. We don't live in light of sight of things going on around us. We would be very discouraged as we had our lives and minds all set up on all the stuff that's going on all the time. And if we thought that's the way that life is to be, we realize it's not. But we are a people living in a crooked and perverse world among whom we're supposed to shine as lights in this dark world. And coming down through this letter to the local church at Corinth, the local church information sent on down through the years to us as well, and thinking on walking by faith, living by faith, taking each step of each event that comes our way by faith. And one of those topics in the local church, vital to the church, as so many are, is right here in this chapter, the generosity of faith, or the liberality it talks about in these verses. And it's that of what God has given us, to realize all that we have is from His hand, and we're giving unto Him and His marvelous grace and mercy before us. So a generosity of giving and presenting and giving unto the Lord. So if you would hold your place in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and we would go to the about the middle of the Bible, into Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11. If you would keep in mind what we read in 2 Corinthians, and then think on that from chapter 11 of Proverbs, and just picking out three or four verses here that help us in the same topic, same information. Proverbs 11, down at verse 23. I'll give a little commentary, a little thought on the verses as we read them. So Proverbs 11, 23. He says, "The desire of the righteous, the desire of the righteous is only good." So it's talking about the results of what the righteous desire and what they want to do and seeking to do and are doing. And then he goes the other picture, but, Proverbs 11:23, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. there is, and he's dealing with the same topic here of, you know, that of our desire and that of the expectation. And then he says, verse 24, there is one who scattereth or scatters, yet increases more. You know, as you have gone out maybe and scattered out some seed, planted a few things, kind of hoping this year is not rotting in the ground on us, but got some seeds out, you've sown the seed, it's a picture of giving and being generous in giving and benevolence here. There is one who scatters yet increases more. Yes, I've given it away, but much from the hand of God is going to come. So it continues in the verse, and there is one who withholds more than is right. You know, he gives a little bit away, but he holds the most unto himself, and says this leads to poverty. While the individual thinks, if he keeps more, I'll have more, but really it's going to lead to poverty. So he says in verse 25, the generous, the liberal, speaking of giving, generous soul will be made fat. Well, we don't like that word fat, so mine has the word rich, made abundant. And he who waters will also be watered himself, the needs taken care of. It ties in with our 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and the whole idea of abundant giving. The people will curse him who withholds grain. The storehouse is full, and this individual's not giving out of it. But blessing will be to him who sells it. And the idea, he lets that which he has, the work of his hands, is used to help many others with regard to what he has. Now, that's a great tie-in, as you go back now, if you will, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. See, in Proverbs 11, there where we read, it reminds us that there is a fatness that we all can put up with. And we're not to have any diet plans when it comes to that. Those words brought out in Proverbs 11. And so we read here from Proverbs, and then we read from 2 Corinthians 8, that our Christian lives are to be a whole lot more than just some religious stuff, some shriveled up religious stuff with sort of a religious skin drawn over some bones. It's much more than that. These verses we've read, and we can read many more, and you know there are many more in the scriptures on the same topic, but these verses teach us that God Almighty does not measure our generosity by just what we give. He does not measure our generosity by just what we give, but by the balance we retain. But by the balance we retain. For all that each one of us earns or are given or attain as those vessels of God's grace, God is, we're His vessels of grace, He's poured it into us. It is all because of God. We have to keep that in mind moment by moment. With each and everything that we have with regard to all of that, of the necessities of daily life, God. It's because of God. So our Redeemer brings forth a lesson for us, and I want to look at one more portion before we work our way through this Corinthians section, and a very precious and familiar one we find in Mark chapter 12. So if you would find your Bible there again and go to Mark this time, and chapter 12, we have an account that's mentioned in Mark and in Luke. And it's a very precious one that ought to indeed touch our hearts. So 12 of the Gospel of Mark. And down at verse 41. 12:41 of Mark. Now Jesus sat. So we can see Jesus. You get a picture of him. He's sitting and watching all the people round about in the temple area, carrying on their worship of God and fellowship with one another. So verse 41, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury. Many writings with regard to what the treasury was like, an open cylinder where people could put their money in and it would swivel and find its way down to where it would be collected up. Many have thought this was like a horn thing that you could hear the money going, and therefore it was given kind of a lot of noise if you threw a lot of money in, and not much noise if you didn't throw much in. So we see Jesus sitting here opposite the treasury, and he saw. So he's observing how the people put money into the treasury. And notice the phrase, and many who were rich put in much. Then, remember, he's sitting, he's watching, he's observing. Kind of reminds us, you know, when the ushers come down the aisles with the offering plates. And the Lord's watching, he observes. And it says, then one poor widow came. She's doing what ought to be done. And she puts in, mine reads, through in two mites. I used to say it was 2 cents, but in some studies, it's not even what would be considered 2 pennies today. Verse 43. So he called. He says, come here. Get his disciples together. Gets them in a huddle there. He calls them to himself, verse 43, and he said to them, truly, truly, or assuredly, for sure, I say to you, remember, it's his disciples, he's talking to you and I, his disciples today, that this poor widow has put in more than all those, even though he'd been observing them, who had given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, out of their income. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Her whole livelihood. When I was a kid growing up, there wasn't too much to live by sometimes. Someone would come out with a song, if the wolf had ever come to our front door, he'd had to brought a picnic lunch. You ever heard that song? And it's kind of the way it was at our home most days. It wasn't too much to have. We appreciated what we have and what had been provided for us. And so thankful for all of the great care of the Lord being brought our way and meeting our needs moment by moment. But in thinking on that, I remember as a real small boy, a time when my two brothers, each at that time two older than me, we all looked about the same, little towheads, and myself, and it would be Sunday school time, and when we got to go, and there was always that an offering, you know how it is with kids, and my mother would dig around in her purse, and she'd find a nickel. And I remember so clearly, shake that nickel, and boy, she'd put it in your hand, and she's going to press it right in there, that nickel to you. Hang on to that, you know. And there's your offering. Or maybe it was 2 or 3 pennies, because that's what there was. Take it and have it, and just felt like a big deal to have something to put in the offering plate that was passed in Sunday school as a kid back in the 50s, early 50s, to have something. My folks were not believers in the Lord, But there was that built into them. When you go to worship, you take an offering unto the Lord, and you give what you have. You do what you can. And we have that here in these, again, that these verses in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 in our Bibles teach us that God Almighty does not measure our generosity by just the amount we give, by the balance, rather, that we retain. So we read that account in Proverbs 11, and we read that account in Mark 12, and now we're back thinking on 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 and this message to the local church on this very vital topic. So our Lord paid no tribute whatever to the rich folks, as they are called in Mark chapter 12, casting their gifts into the treasury, making a big deal with regard to it. He was not impressed. However, he takes the time to call his disciples together and to speak with them and give them a lesson with regard to this whole matter of attention upon this poor widow who gave her all. And he draws them near, you know, come over here, teaches them, and he was teaching us at the same time, the importance of the right heart with regard to giving, our heart condition. He taught us it's not a time of praise to yourself. It's not a time of praise of others. It's not a time to a bitterness of heart, oh, I gotta give. It was no exercise of our own needs, and this as well. Though it's the Lord's business, it was no one else's business with regard to giving. Little to the Lord is more than much when all the little is rightly given. Little to the Lord is more than much when all of the little is rightly, out of a heart right before God, of honesty is given. Now, the Bible's a very practical book. As our Sunday school teacher said this morning, the situation is many folks stop reading before they should, and therefore don't find all the answers they got questions on. They need to keep reading. We need to. We all need to do that. Continue on. So a consistency of studying and reading the scriptures. So the Bible, a very practical book, and Christianity is the most practical way there is of living when you study and think with regard to it. And although as Christians we know our citizenship is in heaven, praise the Lord's not here, our citizenship is in heaven, we also know that we have a definite responsibility, though, for the time we are here, present, where God has placed us for the work of His ministry. So here in this 8th chapter is given by the Holy Spirit to the local church, to the ministry gathered here in this day, so as to cover this subject of our God-given responsibility and generosity in the time of the temporalness of the time that we are here. So our outline goes like this. There's a proper attitude is needed in giving. The first six verses. A proper attitude is in the first six verses. And you know with me how it begins in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, writing to believers, we make known to you the what? What's he making known to them? The grace of God. What is that? What is it he's making known in this grace of God? Well, it's this, as you read down through it, it is a favor God allows. A favor God allows. A favor he allows us to have. God allows us to have the favor, the delight, the joy of giving by grace or grace giving. He allows us to give to him. It's not because this morning our God, the Almighty, is in need of anything, but he allows us to express our love for him, humbleness by his word and to show our dependence upon him and to give to him. We are under God's favor, under God's grace. God Almighty has asked us to give to him. My wife and I first married a little over 48 years ago. Our first decision, or one of them, major one in marriage, was that together, out of our income, we would give to the Lord. And it followed through on that in all the years, and still today do with regard to that. Back here, as you as a local church graciously give us a gift for traveling and ministering and so on with regard to the things of the Word of God, out of that, our hearts are that of expression unto the Lord, and we return an offering. We say that not as a braggart on it, but an illustration. I'm not just saying things for others. It's for me as well. So we ought not to break out in some sort of a nervous rash or sweat or get in all some kind of a tither whenever we hear a sermon about tithing from the Scriptures. Our Lord certainly spent a lot of time talking about it because he knew the needs with regard to our hearts and what's in our hearts. So here with the churches of Christ in an area known as Macedonia, kind of all those districts of Greece, and if you have a map in the back of your Bible, you might find and look upon there in the Mediterranean and the beautiful area of Greece and the cities up through that area, just north of the city of Corinth. And by the year 146 B.C., just a few years ago, it had been constituted, that area, by the Roman Empire, had been constituted as the province of Macedonia. And here the churches that had been established under great persecution, here in chapter 8 and verse 1, and some we read of back in chapter 1, they had chosen not to live separately of each other, but to know of each other's ministries and works, and to fellowship together. They were well known to each other. The local churches that had of the same doctrine. They were associated with one another. They had fellowship with one another. Very obvious in this section of how well they knew each other. And out from among their group, they chose an individual to go with Paul and other missionaries to take their love gifts to help other brethren, other places. They had decided as a unit, a group of churches, Macedonia, to do this. And so we see it being carried out here. You got churches like Philippi and Berea and Thessalonica and Achaia, Athens and Sentia and others as well, of like precious faith that stood for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These were poor churches. These were very poor churches. My wife and I have had a ministry in some churches that were not too well off. She often worked, and I often at different times would have to as well to for the needs to be cared for. I was looking over some notes I had from way back someplace or other from a church God had us to minister in, and back then I thought this was a very big situation, but I see that the budget back then was $425 a week. At that time, I was thinking, well, that's big time stuff. And it was for us, a little church, a few folks. And they were doing what you're doing for the namesake of the Lord, with what they had, giving it to the Lord, knowing it's not a matter of what they give, as important that is, but what's left. It's all the Lord's. It all belongs to him. So these poor churches, believers of Macedonia, present a glorious example for you and I, for this local church this morning hour, of a relationship of working indeed with other churches and with one another to give the praise and glory to God and to care for one another and other believers. So these early churches were not accepted where they were. They did not fit into the world mold, and they weren't supposed to. They indeed were hated. They were laughed at, made fun of, and shunned, and very unpopular. You see that in verse 2. However, they did not allow their circumstances, their difficulties, to hinder them from living by the grace of God and following through on the grace of God and giving as God allowed them to give to Him. A marvelous privilege to be allowed by Almighty God for us to think we have something to offer to Him, to give to Him. They didn't wait for better times. I know over 50 years of pastoring, I had many folks come to me and say, when things get better, I'll start tithing. Or I don't have much income because of this situation or that. And when it gets better, I'll give. And the emphasis from Proverbs and from Mark that we have read and from this portion of Scripture is, if we're not giving through the time when we have but a little, and the times are difficult, and if we don't have in mind this is God's, then probably when the circumstances do improve, we'll not improve in our giving. Our faith is really tested. Remember, these chapters are all about faith in 2 Corinthians. And here's the generosity of faith. Our faith is truly tested, not in times of prosperity and a well-earned paycheck, steady income, but our faith is tested in leanness of times, adversities. Verses 3, 4, and 5, as you look at them here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, they instruct us, you and I gather together, that these folks gave according to their means, and yes, beyond their means, and it was a free will offering, it says. They even earnestly begged, when you read it there carefully, they begged, please take our offering. Please use it. It says in verse 3, they gave beyond their power, beyond their ability. Also says in verse 3, it was a free will offering. And it tells us in verse 4, they prayed that they be allowed to give and have a part in the work of God. And we ought to have the same in mind each Sunday morning and whenever we are giving unto the work of God. God, accept our offering. It's a gift to you from out of hearts of great love. And yes, out of our own needs, we give to you because you are able to care for all of our needs. Without this personal consecration in the area of giving to God, without it, you know, things become a farce and a fake and a fraud with regard to our lives. We always do well to mimic the Scriptures. And we do well to mimic the believers there at Macedonia, to emulate them. Now, they gave in a time of shortage and affliction in their own lives, chapters or verses 1 through 6. They gave in spite of poverty. They gave with great joy in the midst of all of it. They gave beyond their small means. They gave because they wanted to. They gave because they wanted a part in God's work together with other churches. They gave themselves, as that phrase is used in the Scriptures, as living sacrifices. They were living sacrifices for the work of God. And it all adds up to generosity of faith in those first six verses with regard to a proper attitude in giving. Here, these folks, brothers and sisters of ours from way back across the centuries, set before us this proper attitude when it comes to offering time. And then verses 7 through 15, we'll quickly look at. 7 through 15 has a personal appeal. A personal appeal to us. It's personally talking to us. Because of our love for God and His Word and His way and His work, we live generously. A professed love for God that does not give has right to be questioned. It's seriously open to question, isn't it? When we read this portion of Scripture, we should be ready, as verse 7 puts before us, but as you abound in everything. He says to this church, you're doing great in all these areas. You abound in faith, in speech, in knowledge, things probably have given out the word of God, in all diligence, and in your love for us. You abound in all of that. Then he says, see that you also abound in this grace, or this grace also. That with regard to giving, showing the compassion of Christ in the work of the ministry. He says, many are ready to speak the word in season and out of season, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient, to give out the things of God regarding walking in the love of Christ and with God. And many Christians are willing to profess the love of God and to stand up for him and witness for him, except when it comes time with regard to the offering plate. So this is a personal appeal. It's right at us. Our God-given duty, as we can see from these verses. And I want to look at these verses and use the word because. I'll give us five quick little sentences and because. There are five becauses of the personal individual looking us in the eye from God, appeals to us, personal appeals to us. Because it is necessary for the building up and harmony of our Christian character, a well-rounded Christian life, with regard to giving. That's verse 7. Because this heavy giving, rich giving, fat giving, as we read in Proverbs, is a God-stated proof of our sincerity. Look at verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. Proof of sincerity. And then the third, because, with regard to our personal individual appeals, because Jesus Christ set the prime example, didn't he, in verse 9? Remember verse 9? It's kind of a favorite verse and well-known, and probably in this chapter, the most well-known verse. Perhaps even in the book of 2 Corinthians, the best-known verse. Because Jesus Christ set, he established the prime example. He did become poor for our sakes. He says, you know this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, grace is that of giving here, and that of being allowed and having that delight of giving, and Christ gave himself. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, should be beyond measure of anything. I was watching a little bit of the wedding yesterday. Anyone watch that? It probably costs more than your wedding. Last I heard, it was $48 million. Most of it security. Actually, about $4 million, a mere $4 million for the actual wedding. The Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet, notice the personalness of it, for your sakes, you gathered here, he became poor. It was like that widow giving the less than 2 cents. Became poor. That you, notice the personality, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. It's not rich in piles of gold and all this and that, but rich in the great love and grace, the joy and the surety in the heart and life. He did become poor for our sakes. We make it personal. It's a personal verse. And then because, as again we think of these personal appeals down through here, because giving to God always rebounds to our advantage in God's timing, in God's time. For God's glory and His good, giving to the local church always rebounds to His glory, to His ministry, to His work. And that's laid out in verses 10 and down through verse 15 here of the great joy and delight with regard to giving. And because that, in the fifth place, because what God requires is always reasonable. What God requires is always reasonable. Remember, it's a reasonable service. Give our worship to Him. Giving what we have. Verse 12, you'd look down to verse 12 in chapter 8. He says, if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what one does not have. According to what we have, not according to what we do not have, not according to the wishes. I wish I had. I wish I could do that. Because the truth is, we know little is much, and you know the phrase, when God is in it. That is true. That is what's coming before us here. So we pause just a moment and consider, if any one of us have been like the Corinthians, who for some reason, for a short while, had ceased in their giving, verses 10 and 11 tell us, they don't tell why, but that it had stopped. And so here the offerings are being picked up again, going to be given. They're underway, being received again. And if any of us in any way have ceased for whatever reason, might we once again pick up, take on this personal appeal of Christ from verse 9 and step back into it, our confidence in Him. Now, I understand and I know we might not have been blessed spiritually on this earth. We might not have been born with much. We know we're going to die with less. I understand that. I think down through this once in a great while. I know the farm of 113 acres that my mom and dad moved on to when I was 1 month old. And they paid $1,300 for it. And I remember years later when I was getting along in, you know, years as a little kid when they paid off that $1,300. And that was one big deal. Then I think about that later on. I think, well, the first car I ever bought was over $1,300. And I thought, how does that work out? It doesn't, you know. And then you look at a car today to buy one, and if you're thinking about buying a few acres of Lancaster soil down where we live, man, you want some deep pockets. You're going to buy some of that dirt. I understand, I know, we might not have been blessed as we're thinking on and might look around and see what others might have. But I read in Ephesians that we're blessed in heavenly places in Christ Jesus with all spiritual blessings in Him. I also understand that God owes me nothing. He owes you nothing. But out of His abounding riches in glory, He has given. And He is giving. and he will give. How do I know that? Verse 9 tells us that with regard to Christ. Do you know this Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? He says to Corinthians, know him, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know him personally? He who left the riches of eternity and glory in heaven for your sakes became the poorest of the poor, that you through his poverty might become the richest of the rich in Christ. So all believers, every time the offering plate is passed in the local church, which is the only place it should be passed and the only place our offering should go, should not be given anyplace else, we ought to have 2 Corinthians 8, 9 in our minds, upon our hearts as we think about it. And all of this reminds me again back to boyhood and in the spring, when snow was still well above the knees and going out and tapping into a few maple trees to get some sap to boil it down and boil it down and boil it down and boil it down and burn up a lot of wood boiling it down so you get to the sweetness of it. A lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of sleepless time so you can have a little bit of sap. You know, all this gets boiled down that we've been talking about and been reading, and it all gets boiled down, you get verse 15. For as it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over. And he who gathered little, he had what? Had no lack. Had no lack. An illustration from God with regard to God's the giver. And we get to give to God. Whether any one of us has a little or a lot entrusted to us by God, it's God's, our dependence is always, always, always upon God and not upon what we have given to us by his grace. So our confidence is this: God the giver will supply, so give to God regularly. Whether you're present in the church building or not on a given week or Sunday. I know we sometimes say I'm ill, I can't make it, there's work, we realize that. All those things come along, different situations, you stay home and look after someone. They come our way, but the offering is still God's. I didn't give my offering this week, And so next week, however, that doesn't mean it's mine. I don't have to give to God. I save it and give it next week. Or if there's 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I can't make it. I hang on to it. It's God's. It's not mine. I give it to him the week I can make it with regard to the services or mail it in to the church. It's God's. It came from God. I've been given the responsibility of stewardship of it, as we call it, and my responsibility is to be honest before God and to give it to God. By his love and generosity, he has given, whether it's a couple of nickels to rub together or it's a great amount, it's from God. It's God's. Together, we have seen by introduction from Proverbs 25, verses 24-25, that God makes generous. He makes souls fat, he says there, or rich. With regard to the way in which we handle what we've been given. We've seen that God says what a proper attitude is with regard to giving to him. And we are highly favored by God. God asks us to give to him. And we have spent a little bit of time on God's personal appeal, where he has said, when you give, consider the greatest, costliest, unending gift of the abounding love of his Son. Well, that brings us to the last point. Hear an amen, right? Don't do it again. That brings us to the last point. All right, here we go. And for me, a Baptist preacher, this is a short conclusion, but that's my definition of short. Well, it is. The provision for implementation. How do I put all that to work? What do I do with all that information? So there's given a provision, a way of implementing what we've read and had before us. And it goes from verse 16 down through 24. And it's just basically this, you know, God has set up a ministry and a program of allowing us to give, and where do we give? In the local church, and how does the local church use it? The local church has a program and a ministry based upon the Word of God to use which is brought into it. So God wants His blood-bought people to give. He allows us as His blood-bought people to give. We are His blood-bought so that we can give. And where and how do we do that? Well, as a local church established and standing upon the Scriptures all the time, not just when it fits, with a special emphasis regard to this era in history in the local church brought out by all the letters to all the local churches, as in the one we're reading. We need to have always before us to exercise scrupulously care with regard to handling God's money. It's not a one-person job. It's a ministry that the whole church has with regard to it. You know, it's just as sinful to be careless with the books, the offerings, the funds, as it is with regard to the book. Just as sinful either way. So the local church is to follow strictly, and I would just point out verse 21, if you would look at it, please. We strictly follow through, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So you, as a part of the local church, as you're considering thinking about becoming part of it, you have an obligation to keep yourself informed about how the Lord's money is being used. It's your responsibility. As God meets the needs of the church week by week by way of you, the ones He has redeemed, and you who He allows to give. So the offerings are posted in the church bulletin, and there are business meetings. And the only way to know how the funds are used, be at the meetings. And ask other church folks with regard to how things are being handled. Those who handle God's funds in the church, they are representatives, messengers, workers with regard to the church. Verse 22, 23, 24 brings that out for us. So by God's grace, He allows us to give, and by God's grace, we have to get ourselves into the task. It's not just I gave my money and do what you want. It's God's money. And you can't just do what you want. You want to do that which is godly and right with regard to it. So church offerings are God's plan. Offerings are used for God's work. Members vote for the use of God's money as the Scriptures instruct and teach how to use it. So me and my wife and each one of you be sure we're giving according to the Word of God. And then we will be receiving according to the Word of God. Thank you for living by faith and in generosity of faith. Thank you for not living by sight. If we all live by sight of what's in our wallets, there wouldn't be much in the offering. We live by faith, the Son of God, who loved us, gave Himself for us, instructed us in giving. Thank you for being faithful to the glory of God, to that which brings glory to Him. Thank you being faithful each Sunday morning of being present, and each Sunday morning with a plan with regard to giving to God. He has asked us to give. Amazing to me, the Lord God of eternity asks of me, of you, to give. especially in the light of the fact every nickel we have, all that we have, every piece of property and piece of items in our homes, it's all God's. It belongs to Him. Your generosity given out is that of a great illustration of exalting the Lord and edifying one another and evangelizing the lost. A lady's home was burning down. She'd lived for Christ many, many years, and she watched her home burn down, and folks were gathered around and feeling her pain with her. She said to many, "Well, it belongs to God. He can do what He wants with it." Might our thoughts and minds be the same with regard to what God has given us? It's His. Might we be good stewards with it? Our Father, thank You for the faith to trust You and to give according to Your word, and not to be ashamed of it, and not to think somehow we're being beat up with regard to our giving, but to understand it's a great grace from Your hand, and that You enable us by faith to give generously for Your work, knowing that we keep that verse there, verse 9, in our minds of the Lord Jesus, who was rich, became poor. Might we be living examples of Him, of giving what we have, and we'll thank You in Christ's name. Amen.